just too dehumanizing.
I was driving along the Beltway in Washington one day when I heard a news story on WTOP radio that caught my ear. It reported with great fanfare that when you call a particular New York cable television company, it offers the following new option. If you want to speak to a human being, press 1. Me? I always press 1. I will always press 1. In fact, whenever I get that message, if you don't have a touch-tone phone, stay on the line and an operator will assist you, I always stay on the line and wait to speak to the operator even though I have a touch-tone phone. Always being able to press 1 is essential for globalization's success. Always being able to stay on the line to speak to an operator is essential for globalization's success. Because at some level, you need to feel that this system is built for human beings, not machines. Otherwise, it becomes deeply alienating. But what happens if pressing 1 is no longer an option? What happens if globalization becomes just too standardizing, too dehumanizing? My brother-in-law, Ted Century, is an inventor of medical devices, with his own basement machine shop. Ted is a salt-of-the-earth kind of guy who makes incredibly sophisticated precision devices with his hands. As I talked to him one afternoon about advances in online trading, the internet, satellite technology, and the like, he nodded his head for a while and then finally said to me, Yeah, but where does quality of life fit into all this stuff? Ted and my sister Jane then launched into a story that had really been bothering them. Every year in the summer, we go from our home in Philadelphia down to South Jersey, they told me, to buy local produce, particularly Jersey beefsteak tomatoes. They're these big, juicy tomatoes bursting with flavor. There's something in the sandy soil of South Jersey about the way it retains water that is really good for growing tomatoes and sweet corn. And that's why Campbell's always got tomatoes for their tomato soup from the small farmers there. But the great thing about these tomatoes was that they didn't travel well, so no one tried to sell them to a global market. They also came in all different shapes and sizes with these ugly cracks at the top. But they tasted incredible. We used to make a special trip to the farmers markets in South Jersey, Jane and Ted told me, and buy them by the pound. We'd bring them home and cut them up for salads and cook them into tomato sauce. We had friends who ate so many of them at once, their lips would get sore from the acid. You forget that tomatoes are a fruit, but the South Jersey beefsteak tomatoes were so sweet, they tasted like a fruit. Well, in the summer of 1997, when we went to make our annual tomato buying trip, we noticed that they were harder to come by. Then in the summer of 1998, we went out there to the farmers' markets to buy some, and they were gone. Just gone. Instead, the farmers' markets had these tomatoes that were all the exact same size, with a sort of pink color and waxy taste. And at one farmer's market, this guy opened his cooler for us, and he had boxes and boxes of them neatly stacked inside. He said this new variety could be stockpiled longer and shipped farther. They all looked the same, and there were no more cracks. He said customers didn't like the cracks. They were too ugly. What's worse, Jane said, is that they still called these ersatz little laboratory tomatoes Jersey beefsteaks. In other words, they got rid of the tomato, but they kept the brand name, so they can sell them all over the world as Jersey beefsteaks, even though they really don't have the same look or taste. I was profoundly depressed by this whole thing,